This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
You know, Mbo, we could be sitting at something in the neighborhood of 4.0 million short-term contract workers.
In the country?
In the country, yeah.
How many?
4.0 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Short-term contract workers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if somebody want to apply for property and actually on contract, short-term basis, we don't know whether this actually affects, you know, the prospects of acquiring that, you know.
I hear you.
Funding.
Well, yeah. It's a good thing we have Philip Schumann in the building. And as always, he'll give us clarity. He's a broker and owner of Remax. Philip Schumann, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing, Philip?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me, as always.
Do banks care whether you're a long or short-term contract worker before getting granted a home loan?
So yes and no.
Okay, all right.
I think the traditional model of how, you know, the banks looked at employment, they wanted it permanent, you know, and in most cases there's really no difference. Most people lose their permanent employment as well. From a bank's perspective, they started realizing there is a segment of the market they are not tapping. They can't service this segment. So they would need to create an instrument or, you know, change their lending criteria so that, you know, they actually cater to this section of the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important, now you just mentioned how many short-term contracts there are in South Africa, but what about the South Africans working abroad on short-term contracts?
Yeah.
Also bringing money back to South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, so it's beneficial because these people might be earning in dollar or euro. You know, and actually they might be earning substantially more than what you would expect from a short-term contract in South Africa.
Yeah.
So, meaning the credit risk profile for this client is actually smaller. You know, also looking at specific types of industries, you might be a specialist, you know, but it is contractually based. Let's say you're an architect and you're doing a project.
Mm-hmm.
When that project's done, you can't be employed anymore. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think the banks needed to look at this from that perspective. So they would still prefer full-time employment, you know, stable income. You're in a position and it seems like you're going to have that position for the next 20 years because that's the lending horizon that the bank's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it comes down to affordability at the end of the day. And then they try and assess these days, they try and assess the buyer in their person, not try to look at them like a number.
Now, okay, with banks, you know, trying to see how they can accommodate all these people, but what are some of the biggest things that affect freelancers or work against them when they're trying to buy a property?
So usually if you, let's say you've just started,
mm-hmm.
there's no history, there's no proof of future.
Okay.
Let's look at the adverse of that. Let's say you've been... you know, after five multiple renewals of your contract, now you submit as part of your application all those historical contracts, plus you also submit, sometimes you'll be able to get a letter from an employer saying that your new contract will start at X date next year.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning this gives the bank another security in terms of, yes, he'll be reemployed. He's come on the back of five, so now we're in term six. It's going to term seven. Is this not really actually permanently employed? You know, so that would be the better portion, the better way.
But what if, you know, as a freelancer, my finances are all over the place. Freelancing money goes into different accounts. Some I receive cash. Some it's just all over. Does that also work against me or affect how 100%. The bank sees me?
And this is where most people mess up, is they don't pay it into one bank account. This raises massive flags for the credit managers that needs to approve this loan. And remember, it's the credit manager whose lending criteria is tweaked.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bank will go to these credit managers and say, listen, let's start looking at structuring deals for these you know, short-term contracts. The problem now is that the credit manager needs to put in place clear historical data on how he has motivated this deal in the past. Let's use an example. Let's say the client runs into issues future on, and now because it's these very same clients that will come back and bite you, it's the ones that struggled and you wanted to get them through, so now they would apply to the NCA and sort of blame the bank for reckless lending. So you beg them in the beginning for the loan, and then when you can't pay it, you're going to blame them for reckless lending. So this credit manager now needs to prove what he structured and how he put it together so that, you know, there's long-term feasibility. Mm-hmm. But I would always say to clients, you know, pull your money together. Make the you need to make the bank see that you are actually stronger than you look on paper. Mm-hmm. And that's what loan structuring is all about.
Mm, okay. Now, Philip, thank you so much for coming through and talking to us about this. I believe that freelancers, you know, will pick up a thing or two and get their house in order for them to be able to apply for that bond. So that's the broker and owner of Freemax, Philip Schumann.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.